This is Jerry Pippin, and we have John Vasquez on the phone, and he's in San Diego. And he has a book out called Incident at Fort Benning. And we've done a show about an incident at Fort Benning. We're going to find out if it's the same incident or not involving UFOs. John, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Fine. Tell me a little bit about this incident at Fort Benning and when it happened. And what it was.
Well, I like to start from the beginning. When I first arrived here at Delta Company, 1st Battalion, 1st Infantry, Fort Benning, it's an outpost. And this outpost has three other companies, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie Company, and ours, which is Delta Company. Each company consists of 300 men. So there's total, I guess, roughly around 1,300. Yeah, because you got to consider the officers, non-commissioned officers, the kitchen crew, and a supply crew. So September 2nd, 1977, our first day, and it was really busy that whole day. Everybody's trying to get to their barracks, and then gathering linens, being assigned to bunks, being acquainted with each other, asking people where they're from and what they do, and it was really...
So in other words, this was your first day you arrived at this, for lack of a better term, a base camp?
Yes, sir, that's correct. Combat training.
Okay.
It's a little bit different from basic. And we were pretty much getting from one area to another. To make it really short, if you understand what basic combat training is, or at least some kind of training.
Yeah, I was in the Army.
No, okay, then you know what I'm talking about then. And, all day was just normal routine procedure. And that evening came around, one of the drill sergeants, I think it was Drill Sergeant Santini, came around and told us that we were going to have a mandatory formation, parade formation, about 7:30, which is after dinner. And we had dinner, and we were waiting around until 7:30 came around, and he came in our barracks and told us to start moving out into this area where all of us were supposed to meet. And there were like 1,300 guys out there at the parade formation. And we were standing around since 7:30 to about, I guess about 8:10. It was by then dark, and it was humid, very humid, muggy. And we're just sitting around waiting for the company commander to come out and talk to us. He had a podium next to his office. They're supposed to come out and talk about our training course. Before that happened, somebody up front, some tall guy up front, in front of me, said something like, "What's that?" And, you know, I didn't pay no attention to it. I don't know, because I didn't know what he was talking about. And about a minute, maybe less than a minute later, he said, "What's that up there?" And, you know, when he said that, my curiosity got the best of me. So, I told myself, well, I'm going to take a look and see what he's talking about here. So I asked him, and I said, what is it you want us to see, or what is it you're looking at? And he kind of pointed to the right side of the sky. And I looked up, and I see nothing but stars. And I said, all I see is stars. And he turned around and said, just wait for a second, watch. Okay, then I'll watch it. And then all of a sudden, this one star moved. And it was really unusual, the way it moved. I'd like you to picture real quick. You got a cube of ice in your hand, and on the floor is a stainless steel floor. Put the ice cube on a floor and push it along that stainless steel floor, and you can see it gradually or smooth, how smooth it lifts, it goes passing by or moves the way it does on the stainless steel floor. And that's the way this object, this star, moved. Like it was part of the sky. It just moved gradually across the sky. And it wasn't going fast. It wasn't like balloon or something floating. It moved in a good speed, and almost then it stopped. It went away from us. came back, stopped, and then moved again across the sky.
No noise.
Didn't hear no noise. It's a bright star. Uh-huh. And then it stopped again. It moved away, came back, and by this, everybody's pointing in the sky, and they all of us are looking at this, and I'm sure that all the other company men were watching us too in the sky, because we're making so much noise and saying something about that. And, you know, at this time when it started moved away, when it stopped and moved away again, one of the drill sergeants told us to stand at attention, which means I couldn't move. I had to look straight. So when he said that, I stood straight up and looked at, well, I was standing there, and I looked straight across. And, well, you know, I took a glance out of it. I lifted my head up just a bit to see where the thing went to, and it was gone. Gone from the sky. I guess it took off. And about this time, the company commander was just stepping away from his barracks or his building and walking up to this podium, started making a speech about what our training course is going to be. He says something about it takes about 6 to 8 weeks before we finish all these courses that we have to before we get graduated. And during this discussion or the speech that he was making, I hear this rushing noise. It's coming from my left side. And I knew I couldn't move, but I kind of leaned backward just a bit, just a tiny bit, just to take a glance at what's going on over to my left. And I see Charlie Company men, some of the Charlie Company men running out of formation. Others were standing still. And I see this bright, intensive light coming down a dirt road, like it just descended. And I told myself, wow, you know, what is that? It looks like a chopper coming by. So I wanted to take a better look at this. So I leaned forward just a bit so I could get a better look at this thing. And I know I was supposed to move, but I don't know. I was looking at this thing that's kind of descending. And I'm looking at this, and I had to look on the side of the right side of this taller guy that was in front of me that I was just talking to. And by this time, this bright light was about tree level size, or tree level.
A bright light, big light?
It was a little bit more bigger than what I'd looked at when I was leaning backwards a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's still bright, intense light. And it was just descending, and I thought, well, I guess this is a truck or something, you know. And I was going to say something to the guy who I was just talking to just in front of me just now, a tall person. And I looked up, and he's asleep. He was looking down to the ground. He's asleep. His eyes were closed. And I kept looking at him. I go, what? This guy's asleep. So I leaned back again. I don't know what happened here, but I guess I became unconscious for a few seconds, because when I came to, I was aware of my surroundings, but I couldn't move. I couldn't move at all. I was frozen when I was standing there.
You were standing there in formation when this happened.
Yes, sir.
And did everyone pass out?
Well, the only part of my body that I could move was my upper body. My leg was still frozen, standing still there. So I turned to my right, and my buddy who was standing onto my right just took off. He was running. And I noticed that there were a bunch of other guys standing around, but the rest were running to the tree line. And the rest were running, at least taking cover, underneath this cross face that we have in our building. It's about 2 feet high. And these buildings are made in 1940s or 50s.
Yeah.
Two-story buildings.
Yeah, well, you were familiar with those, the traditional barracks.
Right, traditional barracks, two stories, big windows. So, you know what kind of building that we had to train in. And I noticed some of the guys are diving underneath this 2 feet-high cross space and taking cover. The others were, like I said, running to the tree.
Well, what about the brass at this point?
Well, again, when I turned to my upper body to my right, I noticed my buddy was taking off running, and I yelled out loud to him to come back and help me because I couldn't move. So when he did that, he grabbed my left arm and pulled real hard, and I kind of hopped, just a tiny hop away, up from where I was standing. And we both started screaming, where's the captain, right? And we went to go see the captain. I mean, we went straight to where he was at. We knew where he was. So we went running over there, and we noticed there's a bunch of guys still standing around. And then when we both of us saw the captain, he was behind a podium, and he was asleep.
He was asleep?
He was asleep behind a podium.
He was laying down or standing up?
Standing up behind a podium, asleep. His eyes were closed. He's looking at the tabletop of the podium. And he looked like he was staring at the top of it, you know? And I yelled real loud. I mean, so out loud that everybody in the whole block could hear me. I told him to wake up. I yelled, wake up. And he didn't. He's still asleep. By this time, when my buddy was standing on my left, he was turned around and he was looking at something. And, oh my God, his face, like he just seen something, like horror. His face was all pale. His eyes were wide open. His mouth was kind of jawed open a little bit. And he's like, he's looking at something, you know, like an apparition or something behind me. I don't know, whatever this thing was right behind me or something. So I grabbed his shoulders, or his collar, and I grabbed his other, the shoulder, and when I did that, I shook him real hard, and I told him, don't look at it, don't look at it. And when he sort of came to, he said, what's going on here, I just, you know, yelled at him, told him to, don't look at it, just take cover. So we started, and I told him, let's run, take cover. And then we started running, both of us, away from the formation, or at least our formation. And we came to the first building of the barracks, and when we did that, some things were happening there, so we continued to run.
Some things were happening there, like what?
Well, we stopped there, the first building, and something underneath the underneath the crawl space, we saw a shadow moving around. So my buddy and I both were looking at it, and I told him, get out of here, run, take cover. I'll take care of this. And he didn't want it. He said, I'll stay here with you, and we'll see what this thing is. And we see the shadow slowly coming out of this, the crawl space, and I don't know.
Was it a human shadow?
Well, when it came out of the darkness, it was one of us. It was one of us. They were hiding underneath the crawl space, and he was asking,
You mean it was another soldier?
Yeah, another soldier. He was asking us, what's going on? And then, of course, he didn't use those kind of words. He just used a lot of colorful.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I just don't want to make it sound bad, but then that's what was happening. It was happening so fast. And, we told him, hey, the captain's asleep, and I guess there were some more other people underneath the building because he turned his head around and he said, hey, the captain's asleep, you know? So I guess there were some other people underneath the crawl space there. And we told him, take cover, just take cover. And then he started crawling away from us, and my buddy and I started to run again to the second building behind this first one. And we heard our names called out at the far end of the second building. So we went over there. We started running over there to see what's going on over there because, I mean, they knew who we were. You know, they announced our names.
And you mean they called them out like the other soldiers calling your names?
Yeah.
Not over a speaker.
No.
Yeah.
Just calling.
Just
yelling out our names. Our last names. They knew who we were. So we ran over there, and there were like maybe four other people there underneath the building, or five. And we started arguing. The first thing we knew, we got underneath this cross space, and it's really dark, and then we started arguing about what was going on,
Arguing like what? Some people saying it was okay, and other people saying no, we were...
Yeah, there was a bunch of disagreements and discussion. It really wasn't a discussion, it was a shouting match. And, we're cursing at each other and using...
So, in other words, there was panic.
Panic. Exactly, panic. And then we came to the conclusion after yelling and calling out each other names and stuff, it came to the conclusion that this was all Russian invasion.
Now, who came up with that idea?
One of us.
Okay.
And then, I said something like, Russian invasion, those so-and-so made a mistake, you know, and it was just a free-for-all, sort of, you know, yelling and screaming at each other for this. And we want to arm ourselves, but we didn't come to that discussion because all of a sudden we started hearing screaming.
Screams of other men.
On that formation that we left behind. It started from Alpha Company, Bravo, Charlie, and then came down to Delta.
Delta was you.
Yes, sir.
And most of your group ran?
Yeah, most of us reacted. That's one thing we did. Our training would give us some pointers on if anything happens, react. You know, that's the first thing you do, I guess, when you're frightened about something, you react to things. And
So you heard this commotion, this yelling, this screaming. Was it a panic, fear?
Fear. Because when one of them came down, this one scream that came up to Delta Company was a high-pitched scream. One of those gruffing, sort of high-pitched. And it first started with someone screaming, Mommy. And it was bad. I mean, I could see or hear it right now. It was really bad.
But it was pitch dark, and you were away from there. You couldn't really see.
Well, you know, the stars were out. The lights were still on the buildings, you know. It wasn't that pitch dark. It was just we were underneath the crawl space, and that was dark. We couldn't see the center. And the rest, I mean, it's just a nighttime. And you could see things. It's just that we were underneath this crawl space. When you hear these screaming going on, I told one of the guys underneath, we need to go out and do something about this, and he just turned around and says, forget it, they're already dead.
Now, who said that?
That was, his last name was Jones. He said that. I said, no, we gotta go out there and do something. And this is when we started even arguing about the M16s, because we're gonna arm ourselves. We knew where the M16s were. So we're going to arm ourselves, go do something out there and help these guys out. But, you know,
Anybody go to the rescue, or did you guys just stay hidden?
We were going to do that, and at that same time, what we're saying about arming ourselves and getting six M16s, whatever this event was going on, it was happening fast. And then all of a sudden, on that first building that we just passed, on the other side, the front side, I call it, this bright light, bigger light, it covered the whole window, the two-story window on the top. It just covered the whole thing, and it was so bright. It was silhouetting the frames. I mean, you could see the light beams coming through the building, and it was moving across the two-story building like it was searching for something. It was coming around. It was like a slow-moving object coming around, and we noticed something else. While we were looking at this brighter, bigger light, that there was four other guys up in front, building underneath the ground. Remember, when a buddy of mine was running and ended up with the first building, and there was a guy underneath asking us what was going on? Well, there was four other people underneath with him. We started pounding the ground, telling them, get out of there, get out of there. They didn't move. They just lay there.
So you don't know if they were asleep or dead or comatose?
No, I mean, I threw a rock at the building, at their building, and hit the building, and they didn't get up. They were just laying there. And this bright light kept coming around the end of the building, and one of again, my close friend just telling me, what is that? And what do you know? And I said, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's coming our way. And he says, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I don't know. I mean, and I thought about it, and I said, wait, you know, we go crawling into the center of the building. It's much more darker. So that's where we all at. We start crawling.
Crawling underneath the foundation, you mean?
Yes, sir. Yeah, underneath the building.
Yes, uh-huh.
We start crawling into the center of the building because it's much more darker. That's what I was saying. So we started doing that, and by this time, this bright, intense light, bigger size, was already on the grassy malls, and it stopped right there. And I noticed the building underneath, it was illuminating. And you could see the boards, the pipes, the foundation was standing on, the building, and us.
Yeah.
There was a bright object just sitting right down the glassing wall, and we were all looking at this, and we weren't sure what that was. You know, we weren't sure at all. By this time, and this is going to sound pretty wild, but I started hearing a voice, a female voice. It sounded like a metallic sort of far away echoing like a voice, and I don't know where it was coming from, but I know I was hearing it. And I'm asking the guys, hey, do you hear this? And they keep looking at each other like, hear what, Vasquez? You know, what are you hearing?
So they were not hearing it?
No, I'm hearing this, and I'm telling what I hear, and this is what I heard. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Come out. And I told the guys that, and they're all kind of looking at me like, oh, man, something's wrong with Vasquez now. You know, this stuff is really getting to him, or whatever it is that's going on. And I hear it again. I hear, it's okay. Don't be afraid. Come out. So I told the guys, listen, I'm hearing this again. And I told them I was going to crawl out there and find out what's going on. And they kind of all shook their heads. You know, let Vasquez go out there. You know, I'll find out. So I started to crawl out of there. And when I was doing that, the funny thing is, well, not funny, but then this light was so intense and bright, my hands were disappearing in the light. So I had to keep my bearings to where I was going. And I was heading outwards, away from the building, and my hands would disappear every time when I start moving out away from the guys that was behind me. That was strange.
Well, you think it was because the light was so bright it was casting shadows and...
Well, that could be. I'm not sure what it was, but my hands would disappear every time. That could be because this light was so intensely white. Intense light. And just my hands would disappear, and I'd go, whoa, what's going on here? And I had to keep my bearings to where I was going, crawling to. And one of the guys followed me, and I said, no, you stay behind. You know, and I'm going to go find out what's going on. And when I came, I know that I came across the sidewalk, concrete sidewalk, because the concrete felt real cold. And I started getting on the grassy mold. I started crawling up this little hump. And then I stood up and looked to my left. I noticed this intense bright light just sitting there.
Near the ground, on the top of the knoll?
Yes, sir, it was on the ground. And then I noticed that on the left side, the lower left of this bright light, I see this tiny something. I don't know what it was, but it scurried right back into the light again. I don't know what that was. It was something tiny, but it scurried right back into the light. So what I did next was I lifted my left hand over my forehead to shield this brightness away from this light. And next thing I feel is this something sounding like a fuse being blown, electric fuse being blown, hit my left shoulder, and I go down. And
was it that painful when it hit your shoulder, or just a thud?
Sick. I got sick.
Okay.
And I went down, and then I could hear one of the guys screaming my last name, and he's reaching for me, and I reach for him, and I'm trying to go through the crawl space. And then I feel something else hit my back left shoulder. And I became unconscious. That's it.
Okay, so that's all you remember of that night.
I remember a lot of things happened after that.
Yeah, we'll get to that after the commercial break here.
Okay.
You had a thud. Somebody socking you, or?
Oh well, it felt like somebody hit me with softball.
Okay, and it knocked you down.
Knocked me down.
And you felt sick.
I felt sick.
Sick at your stomach or what?
Yeah, sick in my stomach.
Your head spinning?
No, I was blacking out.
Okay, you just felt sick and you were going to go under.
Yeah, and then I hit the floor, I started started looking up, and I noticed one of the guys were reaching out for me. You know,
and that's the last you remember.
Well, another one hit my back. I don't know what it was, but it felt like a softball hit my back.
So, in other words, you were being hit with something, some sort of a weapon, probably.
Probably, yeah.
We're going to go to the break, and you're going to tell me what's next, John Vasquez. But did you have some wounds? Were you bruised there?
No, I don't think.
I mean, not that you know about.
Well, after whatever happened to us, we came back.
Okay, when we get back, let's pick back that back up. Okay, the incident at Fort Benning, and the book goes into great detail, even more than what we're doing here on the show. Plus, in the book, you follow your search for what happened. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I've been trying to search for everything I could about what happened to us at Fort Benning.
A lot of 1,300 men there, and you haven't found any of the other men?
I did, sir. I found my drill sergeant, Sergeant Santini.
Okay, we'll talk about all that when we come back. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology, because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments, and then how the canyon was carved. And, of course, the views, you know, a picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally. 928-707-0291. Or visit his website.
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy.